second part. We're going to finish the message that we started Sunday morning. And I know when we talk about trusting God, all of us in here have our view, we trust Him. But this teaching, this preaching here, is to motivate us to go a little deeper, a little beyond our normal saying that we trust God. Because if you're going to experience a supernatural breakthrough this year, you're going to have to pass the trust test. Amen. God will never deposit in anything in you that He cannot trust you with. Mm-hmm. And unlike people, God knows the beginning and the end of your life. Now, I've gotten pretty good over the years working with people 50 years. I have a diary, and most people in my diary, and I can just about predict, not even with the Holy Ghost, but predict because of human nature over all these years of watching people, pastoring people, and being around people. I can pretty well predict who will make it and who won't. You can do that. And if you don't, I can tell you now, if you don't begin to really recognize and understand the trust issues, passing the test of trust, you'll never have a supernatural breakthrough. People who trust the Lord don't run a while and stop. You know, I say I got 10 more good years. I'll be 71. I'm shooting for 70, maybe 80, because my 60s are like 50s, early 50s. I really feel like I'm about early 50s. Amen. Got no major problems. I act when I'm eat right, do right, lose weight like I'm losing now. I feel better. But I say in 70s, you know, in my 70s, I want to make it to 70. And the reason I don't want to go beyond 70 is because this issue of people running a little bit and quitting. It just gets on my nerves. Amen. You can't get your hopes up much in people today. Right. It's because they don't understand the trust issue. See, trust is like glue. Trust is the glue that holds you together when you are in circumstances that you cannot control. Yeah. Trust will hold you steady. Trust will give you the ability to go beyond that day. And very few people, when they talk a lot, shout a lot, jump a lot, do a lot of good things, but when the circumstances get tough, a lot of people don't have that sticking glue called trust. I know I'm not talking to any of you here tonight. You don't know anybody that run a little bit where they at tonight. You know, but I do. I'm around people that you can't get too enthused with people because they don't understand that trust issue. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, and that's what we want to be talking about. Where does trust come from? What is trust? Is it an emotion? Is it something we get fired up on, or is it something we live with? Remember, trust is the glue. It holds things together when your circumstance wants to tear everything apart. Yeah. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Circle the word all. A-double-L means all. Don't trust the Lord with half your heart. Trust it with all of the heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, that He shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust is a heart issue. Romans 10:10, we share that Sunday. For with the heart man believeth. The Scripture does not say trust the Lord with your head. Scripture says trust the Lord with your heart. So you can doubt in your head and believe in your heart. When you're trusting the Lord, you're trusting Him with everything you have. When you really trust the Lord, it's the core of your being. You trust Him with the core of your being. The only thing I can I can relate that with, what I related with Sunday, is that when you really love somebody and you really, really, really love them and you say, I love you, something inside of you, something you feel goosebumps, really. Can you remember when you first met your wife and the first time you told her, I love you? The goosebumps come out. Guys, you remember that? Amen. And you got a big smack across the lips. Or you swap chewing gum like we did. Amen. That's not popular anymore, but when I was growing up, that's a big thing. Anybody ever swap gum with your girlfriend? Nobody in here swap gum with your girlfriend. Now you might catch a disease, but back then there was no disease. Amen. Swap chewing gum. That was a fun thing. When you love somebody, when you really love somebody with all your heart, when you say, I love you inside of you, in your innermost being, deep down within you, something releases when you say that. Yeah. I'm talking to the right people, right? You do have that feeling about your husband, don't you?
Yeah.
About your wife, don't you?
Yeah.
You should. That's what I'm talking about. When you really trust the Lord, when you say, I trust the Lord, something in your innermost being, something deep down within you, out of your head, unexplainable, releases something inside of you. And when you're going through a circumstance, that releasement, that trust, that power, it's really a power, that might will just motivate you to continue on, because you have no fear. And what trust really is no fear of the outcome. You know God's got you at His best interest.
Amen.
And like I said Sunday, He never, never, never. You need to get a hold of this. He never, never, never takes you out of the equation. A lot of times we take God out. We disqualify ourselves. We hadn't been doing right. We hadn't been praying right. We hadn't been believing right. We might have said a bad word here and there, or done something we shouldn't have done. And I'm not glorifying all that, but a lot of times we disqualify ourselves out of the mercy and the grace of God. When God does not disqualify us, He knows the frame that we are. There was only one perfect Jesus. And so, but God never disqualifies His people. He never puts you out once He brings you in.
Hallelujah.
You are always in the equation. And therefore, you can always trust God, because He has everything working in your life to benefit you and Him. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Trust is the matter of the heart. Trust in the Lord with all. Say all.
All.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And the next part, we're going to preach between the commas tonight. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. What's that mean? It means don't put the entirety of your weight on what you know.
Amen.
Don't put the entirety of your weight on what you know. It may surprise you. You don't know more than God.
Right.
Can I hear amen? It's good to know something. The Bible says, in all your understanding, I mean, get, what's the scripture say? In all you're getting, get understanding. It's all right to know something, but you're not supposed to lean entirely on all that you know, because you only know in part. We think sometimes we see all the picture. But God has an all-seeing eye. And God is the only one that sees the whole picture. And you got to trust Him and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs in the Good News Translation says it this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Never rely on what you think you know. Don't rely on what you think you know. See, we don't know everything. Proverbs 28:26 says this. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. In other words, if you lean on just what you know, the Bible says what? The Bible says, the B-I-B-L-E, says you are a fool. Turn and tell somebody, I know you're not a fool. But when you lean, put your weight on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You got it all figured out, man. You got the A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You don't even have to go to the rest. Just get to the Z. I mean, you got it all planned out. You leaning on all of what you understand. You haven't trusted in the Lord. And how many know all of a sudden your weight crashes whatever's happening in your life? It don't work out the way you thought. So you can't put the... Jeremiah chapter 9. Turn there with me. Jeremiah chapter 9. It's Bible study. Let's open your Bible. Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah, Job, Song, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You didn't know I knew all of them, did you? I had to learn them in Bible school. That's about something only. No, I knew more, but I had to learn them in Bible school. That was the most embarrassing thing in my life. Been a preacher's son all my life. Go to Bible school. Jeremiah, find it. Chapter 9. Get out there and the instructor starts off. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. And you're sitting there with all the rest of the students, and they come from all walks of life, and you're trying to find Ezekiel. Everybody's flipping through. Bible students. And the instructor says, I'll help y'all out. Look in the front of the book. See the page number. So, it, you know, you had to learn after a while. You better learn them books because that instructor goes right on through. He don't stop. It's a school. So Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord. How many of you believe what the Lord say?
Amen.
Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. And let not the rich man glory in his riches. See, the Word of God tells us that, but you can't put your lean on and trust your wisdom. And you can't lean on or trust in your might. You can do it all. And you sure can't, say sure can't, lean on and trust your riches. Man, you can lose it overnight. You can gain it overnight. Money only amplifies most of the time the problems in people. I said most of the, they are some people, when they get money, give it away. But there are a lot of people who get money, they just get drunker. They got more money to drink. And they get more women. They got more women to go out and get. Come on, y'all help me on. I'm preaching now. I think this is pretty good. But if you trust in those things, they have a tendency to flip-flop on you right in the midst of it. And mess your life up.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's what the foolish part is. When a man trusts in what his own understanding, the Bible says what? He is a fool. See, I know some folks think they're Mr. and Mrs. It. Especially faith people. I can talk about faith people. Charismatic folk, they are right and well and happy and blessed. Empowered all the time. But how many of you know that's just something they just... I know our confession should be that way, but life is real. And sometimes life just beats the living daylights out of a faith person, right? Right? I told somebody one time, I said, they said that you don't know who it is, so I can use this example. They said that I hollered at them. And I said, that's not my character, but maybe I was just having a bad day and I just, you know, wanted to sling some, use this word, crap on you. I didn't say the word, that other words, but crap. And they said, well, you're not going to sling no crap on me. I said, well, let me have a bad day once in a while. You can't have a bad day. Yes, you can. Just have it among the right kind of people. Holler at your wife. She'll let you get by. But don't holler at no charismatic, faith-believing person. They won't let you have a bad day. I'm not saying bad life, just a bad moment. It is your faith to get out of it. Amen. I know we think we're Mr. and Mrs. Right. All right, we're it, we got it. But we can't. We have to put our trust in something more than what's inside of us. That trust is a matter of the heart, trusting in the Lord regardless of your circumstance, regardless of what you're going through. You know when everything ends, when the period comes and the chapter closes, God's going to have it work out for your best. That's trust. That is trust. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In what? In all. Not some, but in all thy ways. All thy ways. Everything you do, every project that you do, every place that you go, and everything you ever do, you should acknowledge God in it. If you can't acknowledge God in it, then I don't think you ought to be in it.
Right. Amen.
Acknowledge God in all the things that you do.
Yeah.
It's just a lot easier in life when you put God in the middle of things.
Hallelujah.
If you can't put him in the deal, don't do the deal.
Amen.
Well, the Lord knows. He knows I need this money, so I'm just going to take it under the table. Well, guess what? Uncle Sam don't know that the way you need to get it. I got quiet in here. Yeah. Acknowledge God in all your ways. If you got to do something under the table, it might not be the right thing to do. Right. Don't sacrifice your blessings by taking God out of your equation for a moment. You may get some momentary gratification. You might feel good about the circumstances, but it, 9 times out of 10, it'll come back to haunt you down the end of the road. I mean, we're seeing that now in the housing industry where many of us, including myself, got our houses. We didn't do it, but they appraised our houses more than what they were worth so we could borrow more than 100% of the value. I mean, it was the government. Actually, the government, and I'm not going through all that, but the government's the one that wanted the people, the banks to lend the money. So, you know, we could have the American dream. Anytime you borrow more money than what something's worth, you're in trouble.
Right.
Don't care what it is. And that's what caused all this housing. You know, the houses that people living in now, in many cases, that they owe more than what they're worth. Under the table. I want it now. I got to have it now. Can't trust working hard, getting it like you ought to, paying some money down on it. It's all right. This is the gospel. We need to talk about some issues. We want it. We got to have it. You know, buy the car, 28% interest. Well, you know, it's fun driving it out, man. The first week, wow, I got me a brand new car, man. The Lord said, owe no man nothing but love. Well, how does it feel when you get first, second, third payment? You get about 15, 18 payments. You got 6 years to pay on that sucker. 5 years. They go 7 and 8 on the bigger class cars. How many have been there? That gratification for that moment gets hard to do when them payments, 5, 6, 7. I can't believe what people pay for car payments. I promised the Lord over 20 years ago I wouldn't have a car payment. I had to drive what I had to drive. Now, I'm not getting on y'all. I'm just telling you what I promised God. And I went through with it. I don't think you're going to acknowledge God when in something that you can't pay for. Can I really talk to you? I don't think you can acknowledge God in something for you want for gratification, knowing it's going to be a struggle in your life. You'd be surprised how many people driving their tithes around. I didn't say tires. I said tithes. Living in their tithe house. That they can't pay tithes now because they didn't acknowledge God and what they were doing.
Amen.
You might as well shout on it. I'll move. That's true. We got a messed up world. People, some of us, y'all, not me, because I deal with people, live in glass houses. You don't realize how messed up this world, how messed up our young folks are. You just don't understand. How the they don't know nothing about money. I don't know what they learn in school. They don't know about how to keep a marriage. They bless their heart. That's why we need to teach them. That's why we need to say something from the pulpit that might make somebody uncomfortable for a moment. Isn't that right? So that's right, preacher. We're not up here to win friends and make money. We're up here to tell the truth. And the truth is, we get in trouble when we don't acknowledge God. A lot of people marry the wrong people because they don't acknowledge God in it. God, all the time, the Holy Spirit said, he's not the right one. She's not the right one. He's not the right one. She's not the right one. But you want it. So guess what? You get it. Every bit of it. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you don't, ask Brad. He knows. Not now, but he's had plenty. Marlene has had a lot of experience of it. Right, Marlene? Amen. My little Marlene. But acknowledging God is important. Trusting in the Lord, number one. Lean not upon your own understanding. You can understand some things, but never put your whole weight on what you know. And then acknowledging God in whatever you're doing. Your job goes better when you acknowledge God in it. Don't never say this is a job from hell. If it is, if you say that, it will be. Use it as a stepping stone. Sometimes jobs make you go hunt another one quicker. Amen. Acknowledge God in your marriage. You know, you don't call your mate certain names and all this old woman, you know, hello old woman, you know, she's gonna begin to look like woman or you dog, you old dog, talking to the man, stuff like that. No, acknowledge God and people say, my marriage is made in heaven, so is lightning and thunder, and you got to work on it. God to take care of my marriage. No, you acknowledge God in it. Work on it. How many know you got to work on it? Amen. Now, I don't have a lot of bad throwing stuff and cussing and stuff in our marriage. So I'm not the good one to tell you that you got to really work on it. Maybe Jerry and Dottie can tell you about the guns. And Bonnie can tell you about the frying pans and the guns and the rifles. Not in this marriage, but prior. Amen. Them days are gone. All right. Amen. Maybe Dina and Lee can tell you things. I know Rodney can. But it works better when you acknowledge God in your marriage.
Amen.
And you learn to talk about God. In the mercy of your circumstances, you don't do the blame game. The money, when the money gets tight, the marriage gets rough. I'll just tell you that. I don't care who it is. A good marriage, been married 20, 30 years. You've went through the good times. But when the money crunch comes, the blame game shows up. If you'd made more money, if you'd make more money, what'd you spend that $2 for? What'd you go get that tattoo for? What did you do all those things for? I'm messing around tonight. I ain't calling names. I'm messing around. Amen. Having fun. Having fun. I hear some of you, yeah, preacher, yeah, preacher, yeah, preacher. Amen. Amen. I can tell you, though, if God hadn't gotten my life after when I got 31, and then we begin to acknowledge God in our marriage and all that we did, we wouldn't be together. Miss Penny is a wonderful woman. Any man would love to have my wife. They really would. You don't need her, though, and you don't supposed to be wanting her. But not perfect. But a lot of people would love. I better get off that subject. My wife. But she wouldn't be with me if I hadn't acknowledged God. Our marriage would not be here today if we hadn't have got God in our marriage and kept Him in that marriage. Even today. Because I wouldn't live with me. I wouldn't live with me 1 5 minutes. It takes the acknowledgement of God to have a good marriage. Good job. Good relationship. Man, you know, I'm fanatical. When I go fishing, I acknowledge God. I demand those fish to bite my hook in Jesus' name. I play to win. When I play poker, I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let me win this game. Me and my son-in-law were the last two standing the other night on a poker game. Amen. We don't play for money. Don't get upset. I know some of you can't handle that, but I'm telling you, it and I'm not telling you to play poker, but as you get older, it makes you think. I mean, when you get older, you need to use your brain, counting numbers and keeping up. That's the only reason I play it, is to help my brain. You don't understand that? Pray for your preacher. Rummy just doesn't do anything for me anymore. Fish, spades, old maids, poker does it for me. George, you taught me how, George. Knowledge of God in everything makes the difference. Philippians 4, you know this one said, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Everything. Say everything. Everything. But in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Keep God informed. You know, we're good at it. We get going and then we get God informed after we do our dealing. After we buy it, we say, Lord, now you help me pay for it. Or we make a ministry move. I've done that so many times. I've had Ishmaels along the way. That's why I carried those plans around so long of this church. Many of you didn't even know. I had them 2 or 3 months before I ever made a deal on it. Ever really got enough nerve. Got the Holy Ghost round up where I could say, this is what we're going to do. Especially at my age with what we had to do. I got God. I talked to God about it. And that's what you need to do. You need to get God involved before you make a move. Things work out better. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Remember, as a man thinketh, so is he. When I'm in a situation, and my situation, and I'm trusting the Lord, then I'm to roll my circumstances over on the Lord. And as I roll my circumstances over on the Lord begins to do something with my thought process. But if I don't get God involved, I'm leaning on my own understanding. Old Mike gets in the way. Anybody ever got in the way of God? Yes, sir. Did it cost you? Yeah. Yeah, me and Brother Jeff used to do it all the time. We travel slow now. We're a little older. We don't pack all our guns and holsters. We pick our battles. We're a little older. Right. And we don't move as quick as we used to. I used to be one man. My daddy, you know, like I said, we bought tents. We bought campgrounds. We used to get a car together. We just get thinking about, let's go get a car. We'd go ride off somewhere and he'd get one and I'd get one. And we'd show up at home with a car, and my wife didn't know it and Paula didn't know it. But we're both moving fast, you know, fast lane, till one day we couldn't pay for them suckers. Don't lean on it, your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in everything you do.
Amen.
And He, say God,
God
will direct your path. Now that's where the fun comes. When God begins to direct your path, that's when the blessing comes. Because your blessing is not somewhere off the path God has for you. When you're on the path that God directs, the blessing flow. The provisions is on the path. We used to go to Florida every once in a while. My daddy, he called Florida Sin City. But every once in a while, we'd travel down to Florida. Of course, with no bathing suits. We just go look at the ocean. You ever tried that? Go to Florida and just have a wonderful time looking at the water? That's my life was until I got released, hallelujah, from legalism. But my daddy, man, his number one thing is he ain't going to ask nobody for directions. Anybody have men like that? You go and you say, honey, I think we're on the wrong path. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at. That was daddy's thing. We'd go somewhere, it'd probably take 3 or 4 hours. It sometimes took 8 hours. Me and my daddy preached a funeral together one time. My grandmother was sitting in the back. Me, my daddy, and my grandmother. And we preached a funeral at a church, and then we traveled back towards Griffin and put the body. I mean, we traveled about an hour towards Griffin to, you know, bury the person. So we get through burying, and we start out, and we're going down the highway, and I'm going that way. And I say to daddy, I said, Daddy, we've been this way before. Nah, we're going back the right way. And we had to be at church that night at Wednesday night. I think we left about 4 and we could have been back at 5. And we kept going. And I said, Daddy, I can't, you know, I'm not good at direction. So I couldn't really say, I know this is going back the wrong way. I said, it looks like we're going the wrong way. No. Same old daddy. Lo and behold, we come up over. We've been traveling about an hour. We should be in Griffin. We come right back up on the church where we left. And this is what the bad part with made my daddy so mad. My grandmother said, I knew you was going the wrong way, Wayman. But she never said a word. That's the way we are sometimes, too. We go leave things in our life, and we get on a path that ain't the right path, and we get lost. Yep. And nobody's ever been there, right? Yeah. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. The Message Bible says, listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. Amen. It's good when you're on the right path. Yeah. Yes. Things just flow. Amen. 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 Yeah. In all your ways and knowledge, trust in the Lord. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all the ways, acknowledge him. And you know what God will do? Bring me that rope right there. This is actually what the Hebrew is saying. That God will jerk the slack out of your life. I need some people up here. Rodney, you take this in. I'm going to let you play God. Go right over there. As far as you can go. George, will you take this in? And I'm going to need about 3 more. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. You over here? All right, you and him. Come here, Brad. You get right here. Hold this right here. Hold that, Lee. Hold this over him. No, get over here where I put you, man. Do it. Right there. Can you stay right there? If you don't, I'll get Dina right there. Kind of pull it tight now. All right. Trust in the Lord. with all your ways. That's the majority of people's path. Because I know that's not you, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thy own understanding. Acknowledge him in all the ways. He will direct your path. This is the way life is. You trust in the Lord. You're going. You're trying to lean upon the Lord, but you got to leaning on your understanding. And so you get to the circumstance, instead of trusting the Lord and leaning on and not leaning on your understanding and acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, he'll direct your path, you get here and say, well, my goodness, let me figure this out. And so you get stuck right here and you can't go nowhere. You got to go right back here. What you try and do is get over there. Then you start over again. Man, I got it now. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm leaning on what he said. I'm acknowledging the Lord. For that moment, he's directing my path. So you get over here and all of a sudden, a money issue comes up. You quit leaning on the Lord. You pay about half your tithes now. You're leaning on your understanding. God can't take care of me. That's what you're saying. I can't trust the Lord. Now, I'm not just talking about tithe, but I'm just using that. Do you tithe?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Do y'all tithe, Dana? I'm just joking. So you get over here and your money drops out. And then you start, oh, well, I just can't pay my tithes this week. So then you start roaming again, going back over here, going all the way back to go. Now, I know you don't think you do that in your life. Cycles. Cycles. Then you start over again. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm not leaning on what I know. I'm acknowledging him in all the ways. He's directing my path. I know better. I confess. I'm going to give my money. Yeah, Lord, I get this way. Hallelujah. But you know, I got the money. I'm going to buy me a boat.
All right.
So I'm gonna, instead of going to church, I'm going to go to the lake every Sunday. Yeah. God has blessed me, man.
Hey, man, bro.
I got me a new boat.
Woo! I catch a big fish. I won't be able to
Yeah, that. Man, I just get the CDs once in a while. Yeah. I watch it on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to church no more. Yeah. I am the church.
Amen.
And the Lord blessed me with a boat so I can have church on my boat every Sunday. Well, you're just going back again. Here you go. All the way back. Leaning on what your understanding is. It's getting all crazy.
Go back to go.
Hallelujah. But one day, somehow, you really get to doing it right. You're trusting in the Lord. You're leaning on the understanding. You'll acknowledge him all the ways. Now drop your. You're living right. You're doing right. Drop yours. Yeah. Start tightening up. You're trusting in the Lord. You're leaning not on your own understanding. You acknowledge him in everything you do. Come on. Come on. Come on. Pull that man. Come on. Don't. Come on. You ready? Come on now. Trusting. He's directing your path. He's directing your path. See how faster it is when God's directing your path. See, you want to get over there. You don't want to go here. You want to get eyeball to God. When you get eyeball to God, you get off everything God's got. He directs your path. Thank you, man.
Amen.
He directs your path. But you got to get it all down. You can't just say, I trust in the Lord, then you lean on what you know. You got to trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean on what God knows. And God does not know about any financial problems. I wish I could. No, I don't wish. It is a lot easier not to live by faith. Easier. Not better. Easier. It's a lot easier to make God in control of everything. Oh, he's sovereign. He's sovereign in his kingdom. He ruleth in his kingdom. He don't rule when you're ruling. You put many signs you want on, God's the co-pilot and driving this here thing. No, if God's not driving the car, he ain't driving at all.
Right.
See, it's so easy to do all that stuff, but When you're trusting in the Lord, you have no fear of the outcome. Something inside of you, it's just like when you're loving somebody, is bubbling in your circumstance. I know what I'm talking about. We're not perfect, but I know some things me and Penny have majored on. And some of the things we majored on is trusting God.
Amen.
We've had enough, and I'm sure you have, but not only do we have our problems and circumstances, we have all the sheep problem.
Yeah.
See, I'm one of those that can't. You know I do. I've talked to many of you, got money up for you, see how you can pay this and that. When you call me and tell me you got lack of problem, I take it to heart. I try my best to do something about it. If I got it, you got it. If I don't got it, you can't get it. But if I got it, you got it.
Amen.
Penny knows that. I walk in office any time. And I mean, sometimes it's the wrong time, but I say, we got to do something. We got to help.
Amen.
We love you.
We love you.
We're concerned with your circumstances.
Yes.
And we want you to make it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But you got to trust the Lord with all your heart.
Yes.
Lean not upon all that you know. All this has got to go together. Trust is all this together. Trust is not, hallelujah, get excited about God, and when your circumstances come, I guess God forgot me. That's not trust.
That's right.
It's almost comical. It's almost either, you know you got trust when the circumstances come and you laugh, the other cry.
Amen.
You may want to cry. You may want to cuss. But something rises up deep within you that you begin to laugh. Now, you know, some people don't laugh really out loud, but something begins to bubble. And you don't let that circumstances become your totality of your life. You use it as a stepping stone for the greatness of God that He has for your life. And you work through it and come out of it. You don't get stuck. You don't make your situation a memorial in your life. So many people stay hung and they glorify in that setback rather than glorify in that coming through. You got to learn to trust. You will never have a breakthrough till trust becomes part of your heart.
Right.
I mean, you may break through and go right back in it because the trust issue is not quite right. See, it's easy to say, I trust the Lord in my finances. It's so easy to say that. But do you? Do you really trust the Lord with your finances? It's so easy to say, trust the Lord, I trust Him with my body. Well, what do you do when ache and pain comes? I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, but don't build a memorial and walk around and say, you know, we had a man one time at church, he had a heart operation. And he glorified a heart operation. On Sunday morning when you walk outside, this literally happened. He unbuttoned his shirt and show you the whole length of his cut, to the top, to the belly. See, I had an operation. We had to get on him. He's a little off. His family's the one that took that corpse up when I went down there that time. Y'all don't know that story? I've been through crazy things. I'll write a book on it. Down in Griffin, Georgia, the funeral home, I went down there, this family, it's the one man that showed all his self. His brother had died, and I went to the funeral home, and the undertaker, we saw him not long ago, about a year ago, and he reminded my wife and me of it. He was there that day. They came out to me and said, preacher, go in there and do something with that family. And I go in there and they got that corpse setting up in the casket. They got him. I don't know how in the world. They could, the rigor mortis, what is it? Rigor mortis? Rigor something. Rigor something. You know when, I mean, that thing was stiff as a board. When people die, they get stiff. Bored still. They bent that joker. They bent him, broke him, I guess. Undertaker, I don't know how they did that, he said. But they had him sitting straight up and had their arms around him taking pictures. Now that's the man that was standing outside showing his scars all the way. That's what kind of family it was. Stop Then they all, no. I won't put it on there. Starts with S. I know the names. Don't build a monument to your adversity. It's all right to give a testimony. But make sure you've been delivered through that moaning. You don't get stuck on it and dwell there in your testimony and never move on out to what God has now done for you. Don't glory in it. It's good to tell people what God done for you, but move on. Trust the Lord. You have to trust Him. That's the glue that holds everything together when it comes to God. See, here's the thing, and I'm going to close, but here's the thing. Here's really the thing. You can't fool God. In my life, I can't fool Him. Either I'm right or wrong. Either I got it or I don't have it. Either I'm trusting or I'm not trusting. Either I walk in faith or I'm not walking in faith. Either you just can't fool God. And so God is not going to invest His graces in your life without you first learning trust. I'm not saying your emotions can't get tied in. Thank God for you can release your emotions. But always in your testimony. When you're releasing those emotions, it's bad. It looks like, man, it looks like, when it rains, it pours. That's not a good thing to say, but a lot of people use that. Because it's just going to keep pouring in your life. But people keep saying that. When it rains, it pours. It just seems like, if I had a wooden leg, I'd have termites. You never heard that one? What's that other one I got? What is it? My daddy used to say. Oh, I got some Kim folks that's so tight they have to screw their britches on. Boy, I wish I could remember them things. You could make a lot of money on them old sayings. I'm thinking about it, really. I'm really thinking about it. If you got some old sayings, write them up for me. I'll tell you how you become rich. If I tell you, you might become rich. Anyway, I'm keeping that one. I might use it. But if you got any old sayings, I'd like to know them, really. I'm working on something. Got some old sayings that old folks used to say that young folks never heard today, or you might never heard. Yes, I wish I could know my daddy was alive. Dad. I ain't never heard that one. But anyway, write them down for me. Trust in the Lord. Let's stand. And that's something you got to work at. Trust Him in the small things.